Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Game of Horizon After Hours podcast. This is Alex, and I'm joined by the entire crew of the Game of Horizon podcast and website here. Let me introduce everybody one by one, since every time I try to introduce everybody at the same time, it doesn't really work that way and work that well. Let's start with Ari. How's it going, dude?
It's going pretty well. How you doing, Alex?
A lot better. Lots of shit, you know, happening on the website. Thank goodness. Things are happening. You know, it reminded me of, like, the Ron Paul GIF that, you know, like, has been circulating, that image macro and stuff. It's the most awesome image macro ever. And Sean is here. Sean, how's it going, man?
It's all right.
Feeling
it's,
better?
It's good.
See, I told you he needed to buy better internet.
I feel much better.
Okay, that's good.
I have better internet. I need a better router, but I'm not going to buy another router.
I'm pretty sure there's like, a cheap router out there that you can get. Like, you don't have to buy
it. Is it free?
Well, okay, not free, but, you know.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
I'm not paying money for a router.
Interesting. Ted is also here. Ted, how's it going?
I bought a new TV. I was kind of bored.
Really?
Yep.
What kind of TV?
I found a 50-inch plasma marked down at Best Buy from $900 to
$550. Oh, jackpot. My God.
Plasmas are great because they don't have input lag like LCDs. They're great for gaming.
Absolutely. What brand is it?
It is an LG.
You know, at this point, I don't care as long as, like, it's plasma. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
It's only got three HDMI ports, two components. It's really nice, actually, and I've already configured my Xbox One with it. I haven't done my Wii U because I'd have to turn it on.
Oh,
Wii U.
Ouch.
Stay classy.
Oh,
speaking of the Xbox One, are we doing what we played yet? Because I have to shut up, and we have to do it in order.
No, if you want to start it off, go right ahead.
I'm playing Rise, Son of Rome.
Ooh, okay. How is that?
Not bad.
What?
They changed it completely from when I played it at E3.
So it's not a complete shit turd, it's just a turd right now.
Well, one of the big problems is you run through a bunch of, like, environments, and then, oh, here's a fight. Then you run through a bunch of environments, oh, here's a fight. You know, they can't mix it up because all you've got is a sword and shield. Sometimes you'll meet up with your formation, and then you have to, like, walk straight for a while.
So is this, like, Rome Total War, but just you can control one of the people? I mean, that's what the impression that it gave me. Like, there wasn't anything fantastical about it. It's just, hey.
It's like Gears of War without any cover. Machine guns, flanking, but it's still pretty brutal.
How is it like Gears of War?
Because there's big men cutting up other big men into pieces, and the writing is kind of eh.
Okay, now I see why it's like Gears of War.
Writing.
Multiplayer is interesting. Multiplayer is a two-player co-op.
Is it just like Gears of War?
Yeah, it's like Horde mode.
Oh my God.
And they just keep coming at you, and they keep coming at you, and sometimes they change up the objective, but you can also do co-op executions if you're good.
Okay.
Simple game.
Okay.
Not worth $60, but simple game.
Okay. All right. What would you liken this as? Like, if there was a PlayStation 1 or...
He just said Gears of
War. I mean, in terms of gameplay, like, you know, if there was a PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 game you can compare this to, what would be the closest?
That would be The Mark of Kree.
Wow.
I like The Mark of Kree.
I'm not saying this game is better than The Mark of Kree. You just asked me to pick something that was kind of close to it. That's what I went with.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I get that. I mean, I didn't like Mark of Kree, but, you know. Anything else?
Let's see. Picked up a bunch of stuff today on PlayStation. I'm still downloading Danganronpa. The Skullgirls update is available, but if you're a previous owner, you have to wait for the message to go out, which should be going out by the time this podcast finishes recording, which any day now, you know, between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
I set up my old TV, and I've hooked my Wii up, and I'm going to use it as a GameCube, but I can't find my GameCube memory card.
I have some extras if you want to borrow some.
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
I'll have to find them. I think I just have the gray
ones.
You
have to find mine as well. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, I mean, the gray one should be fine, right? You're not going to save, like, a whole bunch of large files on there.
The only reason the large files exist was for sports games. If I look at Fire Emblem, that uses 19 blocks. Baten Kaitos uses 6. Baten Kaitos Origins. Oh, I mixed it up. 8. Remember Baten Kaitos?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Baten Kaitos.
Who made that again? Like, was it a Nintendo exclusive? I mean, right? Like,
Namco published the first one, and it was developed by Namco.
Not any kind of like Nintendo. Not any kind of like part of Namco that was like, you know, like the Tails team or something. It's just Namco.
I don't know. It's I don't see anything here. A lot of games that end up not being saved over the years. You know, we have Virtual Console, and we have a lot of classic games that we keep around, and then there's the ones that do fall through the cracks.
Right. Oh, well. Well, let me know, like, when your GameCube thing is set up and stuff, and maybe I'll head over there, because your apartment is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, everything's set up, actually.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Just waiting.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else before we move on?
Boy. What if, oh, you know what just came out on Steam that I picked up to play? Because I played it as a kid?
What?
Descent.
As in the old Descent, like...
The old Descent, yeah.
90s Descent, you're a ship.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Just, like, did they do anything to it? Is it just a straight port? I mean...
It's running on DOSBox.
Wow.
However, someone released a bunch of modern stuff to make it up to date, and it's like a free mod.
Really?
So you can hit that if you
want.
So
there's the new textures and, you know, all that stuff?
I don't know. I'm going to play the old school way because I want to be 12 years old again with my Macintosh joystick with my weird little levers.
That was Descent was a weird game because it was a corridor shooter, but you're a ship.
And you could move in any direction.
Yeah. That was so strange. But it was still cool at the time, you know? Like, it was like, oh, my God, you know, like, this is the future. Like, you know, this is... I think that was, like, the first, like, kind of flight sim-ish game that I played after TIE Fighter where I was, like, completely enamored because it ran better than TIE Fighter. Oh, man. Memories. Okay. Well, anything else? Or, you know, is that it?
That's got to be it. I mean, okay. Oh, I just played Proteus on the Vita.
Proteus?
Yeah, it's kind Proteus. Of like a sandbox kind of musical world that you got to
no,
get
no,
to
no,
walk
no.
around
it's
in.
Not a sandbox. You can walk around, but, you know, sandbox.
There's not really anything to do.
Like, implies you look at things.
Yeah, you hear noises. You watch the
sunset.
I
have deleted it.
That was fast.
I beat the game. Yeah,
it
well,
seems
I mean,
like it's like
once you realize what
game.
You're. Yeah, I've played indie games. You know, it's the Proteus, while I understand what they try to do, is the kind of indie game that justifies Sean's view of indie games.
And a lot of them are like that, too, which is kind of disappointing, you know? Like, I mean, I understand that that's like kind of like they have to start that way because they can't hire any artists or something, but come on. Like
you see, if that game was supposed to make me feel feelings, it didn't feel anything.
It made you feel cold inside and bitter.
No, it made me feel, is there a message here? Is there a theme? And then it's over.
That's a good point. Because I would be like, I'd be the same way. Because, you know, like, sometimes, like, people deliberately use, like, the classic kind of look so that they can evoke a specific either feeling or, like, there's a statement that they're doing, right? Like, it's the whole part of that hipster gamer movement that's happening right now, you know? Like, oh, we're doing this as an anti-establishment kind of thing, which is,
I think, a game like Papers, Please does that well. I think having that kind of old look
right.
Gets along the fact that all these people are downtrodden losers.
Right.
Whereas in Proteus, it actually makes it look bad.
It's just bad. It's just terrible.
I didn't care for it. You know, it's okay to like. It's okay to not like artsy things. So,
yes.
There you go. Nice. That's all I played this week, and I bid the floor to somebody else.
Okay. How about you, Ari?
I've been trying to get through Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc, which is basically a story. More than anything else, it's a visual novel for the most part. It's got some, like, I don't know, trial mechanics like a Phoenix Wright might have, but for the most part you're just reading a lot and going through a very, very linear game.
What is the story about this game?
Well, I've been forbidden to speak of anything beyond the first chapter.
Oh, okay.
But the basic premise is it's a whodunit kind of mystery.
By the time this airs, wouldn't any embargoes be over?
They're probably over already, considering the game came out today. But, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm still not going to spoil anything.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, it's an interesting storyline. I've been enjoying the storyline. I've been enjoying the characters. Mm-hmm. I just don't necessarily like the gameplay mechanics outside the traditional visual novel stuff.
Got it.
Like, they tried to do a lot of things to make it more than just a bunch of choices and dialogue. Mm-hmm. But the things that they did to make it a game, I don't consider them to be of any value. I don't think they added anything to the game itself. I would have actually rather had a simple dialogue tree. And it's such a linear game that I'm actually disappointed overall. Like, I would have loved to have had some major plot branches throughout this entire game, but it seems like you're really just funneled in the
whole
way.
So basically you're not feeling like any of the choices and dialogue choices you're making is really making a difference to, you know, with any of the characters or the storyline.
There
whatsoever.
Is very rarely even a dialogue choice.
Oh.
I mean, the main thing that you can do that kind of can change from game to game is basically there's like 15 characters that you can kind of talk to and get to know. Kind of like the social links in Persona.
Right.
And you get to choose, you know, the order in which you want to do these things. And that's about it. But they don't really have any impact on the overall game. So in terms of actual main storyline, plot decisions or forks or branches, they're just simply non-existent for the most part. There's one or two in the game, but even if you choose the wrong thing, you end up getting roped into the right thing anyway, no matter what you do. I mean, they've got their story to tell, they're going to tell it, and there's nothing you can do to stop them.
Wait, there's no way to lose? Like in Phoenix Wright, if you make too many wrong guesses, you lose.
Mm-hmm. No, there is a game over screen during the trials. Which I consider to be just a complete inconvenience that's totally useless and pointless. It's like, okay, let's force you to re-go through some of the dialogue again and get back to the same place where you screwed something up. But it's not. There's no reason for the game over screen. There's no reason for it at all.
So they could have just practically like cycled you back into the storyline, you know, just easily, right? Like
they should. I mean, there was no reason not to just let you keep trying. I mean, basically, if you're in a trial and you don't know this, you can't figure it out, you haven't solved it, right? For some reason, the clues haven't made sense to you. All you can really do is guess and check until you're done. So you're going to guess and check and guess and check and guess and check, and then you're going to hit a game over screen. And then you're going to be thrown back into it and start guess and checking and doing it again. Then you're going to go into the game over screen. It basically just adds a time punishing element to the game without actually improving it in any way.
That's how Phoenix Wright is. Now that I think about it, you've boiled it down to that level. And I have to say, I actually like the game because it's pretty good at telling its stories, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline is
some of the questions are actually kind of hard. Earlier Phoenix Wrights were devilishly difficult because one thing they did is they knew you played other Phoenix Wright games, and there were tropes like, oh, when X happens, you know the answer's always going to be Y.
Oh.
And at some point in the third game, they make it so if you do that, it's the wrong answer. So they start playing with your expectations. But that's because it's had three or four games. I mean, Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc, fun little title, is the first of its genre of its kind. And, you know, there's not too many tropes that in America we've really settled on. Like shooters. We all know shooters. You carry two weapons, recharging health. What are the tropes of visual novels that Americans are used to? We don't really have
I mean,
any.
Really the most popular, I mean, this doesn't really count too much, but the most popular visual novel-like games that we've ever had is pretty much either part of the Phoenix Wright series or, you know, or the 999 stuff or, you know, Catherine to a lesser degree, you know? It's like, what are the tropes? Like, oh,
yeah, but at least Catherine had, like, a really strong gameplay element.
That's true. That's why I said,
there was really a game there.
Right, that's why I said, like, to a much lesser degree. Like, I think, you know, Ted's question is, what are the common tropes for something like visual novel games? Because we don't really see that kind of genre too often. So it's like, you know, like, it's kind of like, how would you play around with your expectations of, like, playing another, you know, visual novel game? Which you really can't, you know, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like in this case, they have a strong story, they have strong characters, but overall, it's just, there's no need for the gameplay elements of this game. It
right.
doesn't need to be a game. It could be a book. It could be a story. It could be completely linear where you don't have to do a damn thing except read the whole entire time. It would be just as good.
Mm. Interesting.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because like when you're searching for clues, for example, you have to find every single clue. And if you don't find it, it's going to say, okay, there's a clue over there. Go get it. there's literally no way to miss a clue. It's impossible. You are going to find every single clue. You are going to solve every single puzzle, and you are going to get through the game eventually if you just keep going. There's no game.
It's like the story, like the game designer is so obsessed with like telling a story that they'd much rather give you the solutions rather than actually having you discover it yourself, which kind of ruins the discovery part in games, you know, like finding like the solutions.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very fun at all.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't, except it actually is an interesting storyline. So if you're the type of person that is interested in a murder mystery like this, you're going to probably eat it up and love it.
Oh, okay.
So, interesting. I mean, I may not be the game's target audience, but I can certainly appreciate the storyline and characters of it.
Hmm. Makes sense. So, are you going to go pick up, speaking of which, just to kind of change the topic, because this is pretty important, I think, you're going to go pick up Lightning Returns, right?
I am staring at my copy right now.
Did you pop it in yet?
Nope. I am waiting until finish up the game and do the review of Danganronpa before I do the...
How many pre-order bonuses did you get? Did you get the pre-order bonus for playing the demo, and the pre-order bonus for beating the demo, and the pre-order bonus in general, and the special pre-order bonus from Amazon? Or did you get the one from GameStop? And did you know there's a special costume if you buy the strategy guide?
Should I just return this right now? I mean, I don't need this game, do I? I should send it back.
What? Like...
There's already two DLC costumes you can buy right now. One for Lara Croft and one for...
Synergy, man. Synergy.
Well, to answer your question...
It is Synergy. But, you know, these are annoying things because in Lightning Returns, her costumes are where she gets her power from. And she different costumes, different stuff.
Oh, no, it's dress spheres all over again.
This sounds so dumb to me.
I know.
We'll see.
I like Final Fantasy. This sounds terrible.
It's basically the exact opposite of Final Fantasy 13.
Silence.
Yeah. The question
everyone
is
says
the
that
opposite
Bravely
of
Default
Final Fantasy
is the...
13 a good game?
They all say Bravely Default is the new Final Fantasy. Bravely Default is getting like 8s and 9s all over the place.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had it. I played the demo. It was really fun.
I haven't bought it yet. It's out. It came out on
Friday,
yeah.
Damn it. And it's like it's 3DS only, right?
Yep.
Yes it is.
God damn it. I still haven't had my 3DS fixed.
Tell you what, you buy it, I'll review it, and I'll give it back to you.
I will probably, you know what? I might do that. I might actually like do it, like, because really, like, if you don't want to play like Lightning Returns, I'm not gonna force you. Because I'm reading the reviews right now, and it's getting hammered.
I actually do want to play it, but Bravely Default seems like
a better
game. Yeah.
Like I feel like some of Square Enix's smaller titles, like smaller budget titles, are actually the more higher quality ones. Did you guys feel that way? Like, you know, the more Square Enix spends money on their Japanese shit, like, the more we realize that it's actually, just a gold turd.
Okay, so what is the stuff that Square Enix does that's not big budget? Because I don't associate Square Enix and small budget, and I haven't for about 20 years.
Didn't they make, like, several games, like, over the past few years that are kind of smaller budget that are on the 3DS or portable?
Like Theater Rhythm?
Yeah, something like that.
Theater Rhythm to me actually was pretty hyped, though. Mm-hmm. If there's such a thing as a big budget 3DS title, that would be it.
You think that's still big budget, though?
Relatively, I don't know.
I mean, I would think like I consider big budget games are the ones that are coming out on PlayStation or Xbox and stuff. Because I mean, a 3DS game, as much as they still pack in a lot of artwork and CG, I don't think it costs as much. And if it does, well, somebody needs to be a better producer over there, budget shit.
Right.
So, but when I mean like low budget titles, I'm talking about mainly their portable lineup, because it seems like their portable lineups are like the most golden kind of games that they've released. Like, I still have fond memories playing Dragon Quest IX. That is probably one of the best Square Enix games that I've played over the recent years.
I doubt that would be a low budget title, though. I think their low budget stuff is mainly their mobile ports.
Ugh. That's even low, that's even lower budget. That's like they probably like handed it to some porting company and be like, "Hey, here you go, check it out." But okay, so you're feelings.
We're talking
on...
about Square Enix, and I'm depressed again.
Well, it's Square Enix. What can we do? But are you stoked?
You know what I do?
Are you stoked about?
You gotta play.
I'm sorry. Are you stoked about?
You gotta play multiplayer game. Oh, we're talking over each other. I gotta shut up. Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Wait. How are you feeling about like Lightning Returns? Though, I mean, you played the demo, right?
I did. I played the demo multiple times, mainly because the demo that they released recently, which they forced people to play to get the pre-order bonuses, of course, is pretty much exactly the same as the E3 demo with a couple different features added in. So, I don't know, it seems fun from what I've played. I mean, it's hard to tell because the demo is kind of in the middle of the storyline in a way. It doesn't feel like it's connected to, like, the beginning.
So walk me through, like, how the game actually plays, because one of the things that Square Enix came out of E3... you know, saying was that some of the aspects of Final Fantasy 15, like the action battles and stuff, are somewhat derived from this version of Final Fantasy 13.
I'm not quite so sure about that, because from what I've seen of Final Fantasy 15, it seems to be a pure action game. But this game, it's kind of like... They took the idea from Final Fantasy 13 where you kind of switch your classes mid-battle.
Right.
And they put that onto the outfits. So you're basically switching classes and costumes as Lightning. And she basically can have three classes / costumes equipped at a time, and you cycle through them in combat. Each class has kind of a reverse ATB bar where you use a certain number of abilities and it runs out and it starts to refill as you choose the other classes. So you basically have to cycle through all of your costumes every single battle. You can also move her around, and like there's, you know, dodging and blocking and things like that too. So there are these action elements that they've thrown into it. So that's the battle engine basically.
I mean,
in terms of the game itself, it seems to be the usual thing. You're running around environments, getting into battles, waiting for the world to end, pretty much.
But this is not going to be like a party-based system, right? It's just going to be
It's just Lightning.
Yeah,
the party has been replaced with the multiple costumes and classes.
Got it. I can see that it's kind of annoying.
Like, but it's supposed to be very like light compared to the earlier Final Fantasy 13 titles.
Oof.
Like those were very serious games, the first two, and this one is just going completely over the top with bizarre outfits and silliness. I mean, I'm not going to judge until I've actually played the game properly, which I'm hoping to get into tomorrow. But I don't know. I'm having a hard time believing it's as bad as people are saying it is.
Okay,
but we'll see.
That is you being the Square Enix optimist.
No, it's me having played the
demo.
I totally understand.
It's just I've been reading up the reviews too, and they haven't been very good.
Yeah,
I think it's maxing out at a 7.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole 13 trilogy is kind of 7-ish, isn't it? So that might just be par for the course.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I was discussing this, and I looked it up, and Final Fantasy 13 actually rated mid-80s. On Metacritic.
Which is so weird because like a lot of people complained that it basically didn't feel complete. You know, like basically like that they, you know, because one of the biggest things that people were kind of trying to figure out is why was there not like a satisfying conclusion to that game? And one of the things that they kind of came like, and this is just people talking about this game, is that, you know, they just spent too much time on the technology and the artwork and all that stuff that they just kind of, like, said, well, we got to wrap this up because we're going over budget. We need to release this game right now.
I don't know about that, but I, for one, have actually enjoyed all of the games in the Final Fantasy 13 trilogy so far. We'll have to see if this one turns out to be any good.
I think it seems like, you know, like you said, par for the course is that, you know, if you like the game, the previous two games, you'll probably like the third game. Like you, because you already have like that investment, right? Like as far as like the storyline's concerned, and if you know, and if you've never been into like you know 13 or like 13-2 and stuff, you know this new Final Fantasy 13 is not going to sway you otherwise.
Yeah, you know? Definitely
like,
not.
Like you've already made up your mind well before even seeing this game going on shelves. You know. So.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of suspicious that that might be the influence on the review scores.
Mm-hmm.
Is this kind of pre. disposition towards the game.
The one review that I read was from Polygon. You know, like, yay, hipsters from Polygon. But it was funny because they were the guy who literally like reviewed it just so down on it that he literally nitpicked every single thing. And I could tell he nitpicked it. He nitpicked every single thing and how Final Fantasy XIII's like, you know, like some of this like mystical bullshit and all that stuff doesn't make sense. And I'm like, okay, obviously you got the wrong person to actually review this game. You know, it's like, all right, you know. I think a lot of those reviews.
Polygon always gets the wrong person to review.
Okay, that's very true.
That is what they do.
That's true. It's like, you know, somebody who's unfamiliar with the series, you review the last one in the trilogy. What? Oh dear. But anything else are you looking forward to? I mean, it sucks, but the South Park game is not anytime soon, right, guys? I mean,
it's in 3 weeks.
No, it's still a ways away.
Yeah, it's still a weeks away. So, but are you looking forward to that at least? I mean, I'm talking about mainly RPG stuff. Because, I mean, that's really the only one on the horizon, right?
What, the only RPG?
Comes out March 4th.
Right, I mean, in terms
South Park comes out on March 4th.
Right, I'm talking about, like, that's the only RPG that pretty much is after, you know, like, Bravely Default and Lightning Returns, right? I mean, that's it.
I don't know, it depends on if you consider Diablo 3 an RPG or not.
IGN GameScoop had a list of every RPG coming out this year. And there's actually quite a few. They're for PS3 and stuff, and Vita and so on and so forth, but it's quite a list, and it's a lot of JRPG stuff.
Well, I'm talking about, like, between now and, like, when South Park comes out. Like, that's the next one, right? Like, or no? Am I completely wrong here in thinking, like, there's something else in between? I know, Ari, you mentioned Diablo, but that's towards the end of March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I'm talking about, like, the next one after this, so that would be the next.
The next major RPG? Yeah. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's Dark Souls 2.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also the Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD remaster. Hmm. So that'll
That's at the end of this month, right?
Yeah, and The Witch and the Hundred Knight.
That's right.
That's a Nipponichi game.
Jesus. Well,
so, there's no shortage of RPGs.
Well, that's good. There's only a shortage.
But, I mean, I'm going to have my hands full with just Final Fantasy 13 3. I'm just going to call it for what it is. Yeah. And and Bravely Default if it comes my way.
Yeah, definitely. So that's it, right? You're going to just be working on those two and stuff and then seeing how they...
Yeah, I mean, I'll still be playing, you know, Hearthstone on and off. Unfortunately, my big speech about Hearthstone has been lost in the wind, but I'm still really enjoying that for what it's worth.
Okay. Alrighty. So, Sean, how about you? What have you been playing?
I finished up Tomb Raider. Still love that game. Played it 6 times.
Like, just then this one started, using the definitive version?
No, I played that 3 times.
Okay.
Just to get up, clean up trophies and stuff like that. But then I started playing Alan Wake again because I figured the third time would be the charm, and I know I said I wanted to give that back to you, so I started playing it again. And it got a little better, and then I realized I still don't like it. That game... For a game that was in development for 5 years, has, like, no fucking gameplay. Like, it's amazing. You literally go to a scene and then get chased through the woods by a bunch of shadow shit with the world's worst flashlight, collecting thermoses and pages of your manuscript, and then get to the next place and then go through the woods again and do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Like, it got to a point where I was like, I kind of enjoyed myself, and then I was like, you know what? I just don't want to do this anymore. So I really don't understand why people love that game. Like, I don't think the writing is very good. I think the voice acting is awful. I got to the scene where he goes to this waitress's house, clearly drugged out of her mind or under some kind of shit, and he just walks in, and him and his... agent walk in the house and sit down and start taking coffee. And I'm like, why can't this character be... Just give me one little thing where he goes, hey, she's acting funny. You know? Like, you just saw her scene before. She wasn't acting like that. And now she's acting like, you know what I mean? It was just like, well, and I don't know. Like, I just don't like when the characters are dumber than me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like when you can see well ahead of what the character's seeing. I don't like that in movies. I don't like that in games, like where something clearly something's wrong and they don't react to it like something's wrong.
Yeah. I think
there are. I mean, it sucks because I like some of it. Like, I love the Taken, and I love the way light works with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, it doesn't make any sense that these people are shadows, but you can shoot them with bullets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like, I don't know, there's some of it I like, but it's just like, I feel like it's just the gameplay loop, and I'm only on chapter 3, and I'm like, I can't do this for another 7 chapters. I just can't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, one of the frustrating things to me, like, about, like, Alan Wake was just that, you know, like, you know that there was the core of Alan Wake started off as an open world horror game. And then you can tell, like, what happened was that Microsoft stepped in with their producers, kind of like what they did with Fable, and said, all right, guys, this cannot have an infinite budget. Let's finish this up and then release it, and then we'll work on the next game. How about that? I mean, to me, that I think that's what happened.
I would have liked, in the beginning of it, I thought it was interesting. You talk to people, and you find little things out about the town and stuff. And that's what I thought the game was going to be, with a few of those action elements in it.
Right.
But then when I realized that, no, it's the other way around, a ton of these action elements and very, very few, like, exploring, kind of talking to people kind of things.
Yeah.
It just kind of turned me off. But I'm also still playing Persona. I'm not going to talk much more about that going forward, because I'm probably going to be playing that for the next, like, 30 podcasts.
Okay.
Because I'm only playing it on the commute.
Well,
but,
let us know at least where you're at.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm at Yukiko's castle.
Okay.
I just got to Yukiko, and I fought the knight guy that she had with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I have, like, I had, like, no SP by the time I got through that whole castle, so I had to I had to backtrack and leave the castle. I have to go get more shit and then go back.
Mm-hmm.
I still have plenty of time. The forecast doesn't show rain yet, so mm-hmm. I probably get a night's sleep. And I got a lot of money, so I'm just gonna buy a lot of potions and stuff, and then just go in again. I have a question for you guys, since you all played it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go back in, am I going to have to do that whole castle again, or can I kind of just go right to the place?
I think it just leaves off where you left off, right?
I think it depends on what floor you got to. If you got all the way to the boss floor, I think you might be able to go straight to it. I could be mistaken, though.
Yeah, I got to the boss floor.
Yeah, you might be able to go straight to it. I'm not sure.
Now, if I go back in and say I'm not allowed to go straight back in, do I have to fight all the monsters again?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how it usually works, is you have to fight your way through the dungeon again. It'll be a new randomly generated dungeon, but, you know.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, but it's like, this time around, though, it should be pretty easy. Like, I mean, you could just mow through, like, a whole bunch of them, or, like, run away from them. You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't that bad. It just took me about a week with my commute to do that. I mean, I like the game. It's been such a long time since I played a traditional, I guess I would say traditional compared to what I've been playing, RPG, mm-hmm. JRPG. But I really, really, I'm really enjoying it. I like the characters. The story's fun. It's weird because it's like juvenile and mature at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're dealing with, like, murder and people hanging from in really gruesome, like, they don't show it, mm-hmm. but you know, you get the idea that somebody's hanging from a gruesome,
TV antenna.
Upside down from a telephone wire, TV antenna and stuff. So, it's just this weird dichotomy that I find really interesting. And I like the combat. I'm learning the combat. I'm just about to fuse, a couple of personas together. Any tips for that would be great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's good to, and I really like that I have some, like, it makes the time, my commute go so much faster. I mean, I love it. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just
one of those...
not quite enough to play at home.
Wait, what?
He said he's enjoying it, but not quite enough to play at home.
I mean, I think it's a perfect portable, though. I mean, to me, I've always felt that RPGs, because of their inherent length, is perfect for something like a commute. You know? Like, what is it?
Yeah, like I have the opposite opinion. I feel like RPGs are so long that you need to devote, like, 3 or 4 hours at a time to them.
And you could, like, especially with, like, a public, you know, with a bus commute or, like, a metro commute. I feel like that would be, like, 3 hours a day at most.
I have the reason why I'm using it for my commute is because A, I do have a portable handheld system, so I want to use it for that. Mm-hmm. And then I have a lot of games that I need to play on my consoles. So when I'm home, I kind of want it to be console time, and then when I'm traveling, I want it to be mm-hmm. or, you know, like there's some nights where I have to go in the bedroom.
Right.
While my girlfriend's working out here, and I'll bring it in there, and I played a little bit of Persona a couple of, you know, past 2 weeks in the bedroom and stuff, but it's never for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like I said, this game's gonna take me a really long time, so yeah. That's just gonna be I'll clue you in when I'm near the end, I think.
Yeah.
Or when I think I'm near the end.
Yeah. Definitely. And I really want to talk about it, but, like, we don't want to spoil the magic because there's a lot of really good shit, like, in that game. So.
Oh, I'm sure. I only have 3 characters. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And it's not even just the characters that you get. It's just all the people that you generally meet. Like, you know, because obviously, like, if you look at the, like, I don't know if it, I forget, like, if it shows in the social link screen, but there's, you know, there's so much arcana, like, in, you know, the social link stuff that, you know, there's going to be more people that you're going to meet, and it's going to, like, you know, like, just the character development for those characters were just really, really well done. And you won't, and the, considering that you're playing this version and having no knowledge of, like, you know, the original Persona 4 is probably even magical, because, like, you'll never think that there were some pieces that were missing from before, because everything just flows seamlessly throughout the game.
Yeah, I really like it. The one complaint I had, it's a real minor one, but this is just goes with my personality. If I hear that little girl sing the Juness theme one more time, I'm probably going to choke her.
It's in the... Oh, Ari, I know. Me, yeah. Ari and I are...
She does it every time the commercial's on.
Ari and I are like, you know, if Ari and I are in the same room right now, we're just going to look at each other and kind of nod because we know what the game is trying to do. And I'm not even going to say anything about that.
Oh, it's trying to make me crazy and want me to kill somebody? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to say, it's
kill the killer.
It's succeeding. It's succeeding. Yeah, I'm really into the mystery, too. I like that's another thing, too. I'm really into, like, finding out who the quote-unquote culprit is. I think it's hilarious that teenagers keep using the word culprit.
Yeah. It's quite the word, culprit. Oh, man. I know. And it's great, the voice acting and everything. It's really awesome.
So, yeah, I like the game a lot. Cool.
So, all right. So, I mean, apart from the stuff that I'm playing on my iPhone and stuff, I mean, I've been playing Lords of Waterdeep, which is a board game on the iOS. Not really much to talk about. I am playing through Persona 3 Portable, you know, speaking of Persona. So I have never finished Persona 3, so this will be the first time I'll actually finish that game. So, and they've done a lot in Persona 3 Portable that they've actually carried over to Persona 4 Golden, which is great. Like, you know, like the coffee shop and stuff, like Chagall is actually in Persona 4, because that's something that they added in Persona 3. So you'll discover what these are later, Sean. But that's all really I've been playing. So I'm just going to jump right into our, you know, our news articles, because these are pretty big. It's been a pretty big week in terms of news. And I know, like, I just added this about, like, 40 minutes ago and stuff, but this is kind of a big deal. I think, to me at least. So, like, have you guys ever played Flappy Bird?
Yes.
Yep.
What do you guys think about it?
I'm so pissed off that I did not buy that game.
It's not a free game.
I know.
Are you mad that you don't have it yet? That you can't get it?
Oh, I'm mad because if there was even an option that I could sell my iPhone for $500 or whatever, I would have taken it.
I bet. And he wasn't kidding either. He literally pulled it out of, you know, pulled it out of the app stores. And mind you, I did get it, and I tried. Like,
I grabbed it right
though.
Before it went off the stores.
I wonder if he's set for life
already. And I let Rachel get it too because she ended up really liking it.
Wow. So I mean, is this like, you know, like, is this like kind of like Quap? I mean, you guys remember Quap and stuff, you know, like the Apple.
No, it's not as hard as Quap.
Nope.
It's not meant to be super hard. It's just you need to stay really focused, I think.
Hmm. Okay, so like, so it's not as hard as people say it is. Like, I mean, I tried it.
The first couple of times you play it, you're likely to die.
I kicked your ass, sorry.
Huh?
If you look at the leaderboards, I'm kicking your ass.
Well, yeah, I hate the game.
You hate the game?
Yes.
It's no cookie clicker.
It isn't. No, I mean, Flappy Bird is just very, it's such a simple game, there's really nothing to it. And because of that, it doesn't really appeal to me.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, do you guys feel any sort of, you know, because one of the things that, one of the things that's been going on right now is people are, like, giving him death threats for pulling the game down and stuff. It's kind of.
Yeah, that kind of shit's ridiculous. That's got to stop.
That's a very dickish move by everybody. I was like, dude, it's a free game, first of all. And second of all, it's his right to do whatever he wants. And. It's interesting because he's receiving, if you think about like the reason why he pulled it down versus, you know, something similar, I feel like something similar happened with like Fez 2 in terms of like, you know, like there's this huge vitriol that happened with, you know, like the designer kind of putting like the power of his property in his hands kind of thing. It's like, and he didn't do anything wrong. I feel like, you know, he was just trying to be responsible, you know, but. It's kind of sad that the way that the internet reacted to him was just as much hate as when, you know, Phil Fish basically said, like, oh, yeah, I'm canceling Fez 2. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, but Phil Fish was an asshole. This guy doesn't seem like an asshole.
That's what I'm saying, is, like, he received...
He was basically
The point is that the internet is full of assholes, and you gave all the assholes a voice at one time.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. It sucks. It's like, I mean, just any comment section. Here's something I don't understand. I don't read about things I don't care about, right? And I sure as hell don't comment on things I don't care about. Like when we're talking, we're having a conversation, we run a website. Yeah, I'll talk about Nintendo or things like that. But like, I really don't go spend any time on any websites going to Nintendo comments and being like blah blah blah, putting my opinion about Nintendo, or I don't care about for instance, no, this isn't any offense to Ari,
right.
Ari's in the Hearthstone, I have no interest in that game, I'm not going to Hearthstone forums or articles making comments. So mm-hmm. when I see people going into articles about Call of Duty and saying Call of Duty sucks, it's copy and paste, the irony being that they use the same comments over and over and over again, mm-hmm. It's just, I don't get it. Where's the video games are supposed to be fun? Where's the joy in taking the time from your day and being a hateful douchebag to something that you clearly don't care about, or you say you don't care about, but you care enough to try to ruin somebody else's day? Like, what is that?
That's actually something that I've been trying to understand too. Like, and I've been writing for video game sites for like close to a decade now. Like, you know, the comment, you know, the anonymity of the internet definitely has something to do with it. And which is why, like, I feel like when Sony and Blizzard were trying to, you know, like do those real name, you know, kind of implementations, I feel like that's one of the ways that they want to kind of create some sort of, you know, imply some sort of responsibility on the player's hands, you know, like, so people won't be like just haphazardly like commenting and saying like, oh, this is a garbage, and then leave and not have any sort of repercussions towards it. Like, in, and one thing, things that I noticed too, you know, like that's kind of really interesting is that, you know, because I've been indulging in a lot of board games lately, like that's a community by comparison that's anything but, you know, like filled with negativity. And I look at, you know, video games and stuff, and it's so filled with, like, negative publicity, negative stuff. Like, every time somebody says something, like, that's mildly bad, like, oh, somebody gets delayed. Like, for example, one of the things we're going to be talking about is, like, you know, Watch Dogs being pushed, you know, back for the Wii U. The first thing in people's minds is, like, oh, well, it's because the Wii U is sucking right now. And I'm like, well, it might be, but it's like, you know, it's, you could say something like positive about it. Maybe like, hey, maybe they're giving it a, you know, extra coat of polish. I don't know. You know, so there's just a lot of pessimism.
You know what, Alex, that's why would people say that if that's not true?
What's that?
That's different. That's different. That's a different kind of negativity there. There's saying that because you're looking at Aliens Colonial Marines, which was delayed and then eventually canceled. It's just very weird that that's a different kind of negativity than being like.
But that is part of the general negativity that prevails in the video game industry, though. Like, there is not it. You know, there's not one negative thing that is okay. You know, like, in terms of reaction. I'm talking about, like, public reaction. Not necessarily, like, you know, like a publisher's reaction. Like, you know, like, Watch Dogs being pushed by Ubisoft. The reaction to that is always, or any sort of news, is always something negative. And it's very rare that we actually see something, like, positive come out of the industry. Like, I think the most positive thing that I've seen come out of this industry as of late was when, like, I think there was this transgender woman who basically got berated by this guy, and then a bunch of people just, you know, and it was happening in the adventure game scene, and a whole bunch of guys, you know, was headed up by this game designer to basically create this game in honor of the person who got offended and stuff. Not necessarily talking about the thing that happened to her, but, like, you know, kind of honoring that person and kind of, like, her strength and stuff, which is really cool. But all that stuff is buried underneath all this negativity. You know, like, oh, yeah, Microsoft is fucking up, Sony's fucking up, everybody's fucking up. You know, that seems to be the most important thing. I mean, I guess my question for this is, like, is there any hope for the industry to change? I mean, I don't know. It seems like the industry
is, like...
Is
there any hope for the human race?
Well, that's kind of a...
Oh, now we're getting deep.
I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, the internet is this big, wide-open space where every asshole in the world can get their word in. So even if, you know, there's 100 people that can appreciate a game or a person or a developer, there's going to be plenty of people that will overpower them with negativity.
But that's the thing, though. It's not present in... It's not too prevalent in any other media except video games.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. But
Ben Affleck's going to be Batman. Yeah, Batman Affleck's going to be a bad Batman. Know,
exactly. Exactly.
Matt Damon.
I think that was probably more universally heard than any video game.
Well, okay. Well, of course, because it's more popular than video games. Like, that's a more controversial topic. And in terms of, if you want to talk about, like, quantity, of course.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's where you're going to hear it. Like, back to your point about board games. Board games aren't huge. They're a niche.
No, but...
They might be big, but relatively speaking, they're a niche. Video games are big. Movies are big.
I'm not... Well, okay, so that's one subject matter. That's one topic of, like, okay, Batman, okay, sure, that's negative. And, of course, we can talk about, like, you know, like, the gossip hounds and stuff, like TMZ and all that stuff. But the relative negativity of something like that happening in movies versus the relativity of, like, that happening in video games, it seems to me personally that it seems to happen more in video games on a per-percentage basis. Not quantity-wise, but percentage, a lot of the time, I see a lot more negativity in video games than any other.
I see negativity in nearly every single thread of every subject related to video games on every forum.
Right.
It's just ridiculous.
Like, you know, like, you walk into a forum and stuff, a discussion forum, there's a lot of negativity there in general. Like, there...
But how many... Here's a question I have to ask. Obviously, we're here because we love video games. Mm-hmm. How many movie websites do you guys go to, the forums? How many, like, you know, seriously, or TV show forums or stuff like that? If you're really into all these different mediums, if you're focused on it, you're going to see it a lot more. You know what I mean? And video games are big right now. And the problem is that also a lot of, like, it sucks because as much as the average age of a game player has gotten older, there's still little kids playing it, and they're the same assholes who are on Xbox Live saying the N-word and calling you a fag and doing all these terrible things on the internet.
That's actually a problem. And it's because the average actually hasn't increased. The average is still within 18 to 21 years old.
No, the average age of a gamer is like 30 years old, dude. Look it up. Okay.
Isn't it 18 to 34?
That's still like a big range.
It's mid-30s. But these are even younger than that. These are younger kids. Like, I don't know where they come up with this average, because I'm obviously on one end of the spectrum, but I see little kids, and I played Call of Duty for years, and I've listened to these whiny, balls haven't dropped kids saying horrible shit on the internet. And the thing is like, when you're when you're focused on something, and I don't disagree with you guys, I read NeoGAF, and today there was an article about an OXM, an interview with the developers of Evolve, and they said they were kind of going for parity across all three platforms, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. And everyone's like, parity, fuck you. Oh, it was disgusting that PC would have parity with consoles.
Okay, average. I think the better question is, what is the average age of people actually visiting video game sites? And if
that's probably true,
that's the case, it is 18 to 24 years old.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because, I mean, I think that, you know, for us and stuff, like, we really love games. Obviously, like, we write for a video game website, we play a lot of games. Obviously, we're right knee-deep into it. But I'm pretty sure there's a huge part of our demographic that actually doesn't care to go and, you know, argue about, you know, video games and stuff. And if you think about it, the 18 to 24 years old, you know, kind of demographic has more time than the regular person, because, you know, they just don't have too much responsibility, I don't feel. And they can spend all their afternoons just like going on like a forum and staying there for hours on end, playing like MMOs for like 14 hours straight and not give a shit while browsing NeoGAF or whatever and commenting negatively on every single thing. Like, that's what I feel is kind of like the difference here, is because, you know, like, a lot of video gamers, like, the ones that are really, like, you know, finishing, like, games, like, you know, like, left and right and stuff, like, are the ones with the most time. And obviously, like, naturally, they'll be the ones to have, like, the most angst, I guess, to kind of release on the internet. That's my feeling.
I don't know. I mean, I never understood it, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut anybody off.
No. I mean, I don't know, Ted, like, obviously, like, you know, you hang out with some of these people. I mean, the video game community is quite a sea of negativity out there.
Well, they're dumb as hell. It's so easy to troll them. There's, like, someone who hates on Killer Instinct, and I just look at them and say, you just hate it because you're poor. Now, I'm a master of trolling. Don't get me wrong. I'm excellent at trolling, but I will troll anybody in person to their face. So I'll look at these people and say, oh, you just hate it because you're poor, you know. You just hate it because, you know, you want to love it, but you don't. As someone else who said, I actually bought another joystick, and someone was selling it for $100. I said, why are you selling it? Because it's a PS3 and I have a 360. He's like, why don't you buy a PS3? He's like, because I hate PlayStation. It's like, is that because you're poor? It's just fun to look at these people in the eye. Because when they realize that someone is going to give them the same thing, like, you're going to listen to their inanity and just give you back even worse inanity. And then they just mutter the word fag under their breath, and you look at him in the eye and like you've never sucked dick before.
Well, okay, so just as to use our website as an example, majority of our demographic is male, and as far as like our top three age demographics is less than 18 years old all the way up to 34 years old. That is our average. As far as like the most as part of that population, between 25 to 34, but it's immediately followed by 18 to 24 year olds. About more than 50% of them don't have kids. Majority of them only earn from zero to like $50K a year, and most of them are Hispanic and other. So I mean, and some of
Inuit,
them, and some of Inuit,
Inuit,
Aborigine. And majority of them, like, you know, well, at least our website is concerned. Like, some didn't go to college and some did go to college, which is kind of nice. But, you know, so that's kind of like the demographic that we see. And I think this is kind of represented across. Oh, this is what you guys will find interesting. So on our website, we actually keep track of, like, you know, and we do this anonymously, in case you guys are wondering.
Oh, and everybody does it too, by the way. Website you go to is used doing this stuff, so don't freak out.
So we have, like, this thing that measures the affinity of each person depending on, like, what website they'll view, right? So the first thing is gaming information. There'll be three times to browse, like, gaming information, followed by communities with teenagers, which is like 2.5%. Humor, technology, teens, science and technology, reference, video. And check this out. Adult content. And triple X adult content is twice as...
Gamers love porn.
Like, yep, pretty much.
That's because they live in their mom's basements and they don't get girls.
There you go, right?
I'm really sick of that line. Oh, you're living in your mom's basement, you don't get girls. We need to have better lines. I mean...
I know. That's why I made a funny voice when I said it.
You know, I can't even tell anymore.
I mean, is that...
I can't even tell anymore.
But is that partially true, maybe? I mean, if these guys are like that...
I don't know. I don't really want to spend the rest of the podcast psychoanalyzing these people. They suck. I'd rather talk about the millions of other news stories we talked about. I mean, that's just me personally.
Okay. I mean,
and I don't think we're ever going to find a solution to this. I just want to say that as somebody who grew up in a music scene where fist fighting was welcome and encouraged, and you didn't talk shit to people because unless you were willing to back it up, I find all these people do this because there's a distinct lack of fear for repercussions, be it somebody getting slapped in the mouth or be it somebody not being arrested or held accountable in some way or another. There's no accountability. So without accountability, these people have, they're not gonna stop. Mm-hmm. There's not gonna be some civil discourse, and you're gonna see a repeat of this stuff over and over and over again.
This'll never end, unless somebody has a really good solution, which I don't think that's gonna happen within our generation. So, all right, so let's kind of hammer through like a bunch of news, shall we? I called it Call of Duty Sledgehammer this year. Any thoughts?
It's moving to a 3-year development cycle. So that's interesting. A 3-year development cycle is actually a good amount of time. I wonder what it's going to do to affect the quality of Call of Duty. I think it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good. I'm not a Call of Duty fan. You know, I prefer Battlefield, clearly, but I can see this for what it is. And I think it's just...
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, Sean?
I honestly think this is a really good thing. They had a 2-year cycle. Now they're getting an extra year. And let's put it this way. They have to step up their game because Titanfall is going to make a dent. Then you have Destiny's. I don't know if Destiny and Call of Duty are fighting for the same crumbs, so to speak. But I think Titanfall is. And Sledgehammer, I don't feel like they're going to be quite under the scrutiny that Treyarch is going to be when they finally have a game, because people might still be under the illusion that Sledgehammer didn't really have 3 full years to develop this game, but Treyarch definitely did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it's not amazing and a game changer the way Modern Warfare 1 was, then it's going to be in trouble. But I think Treyarch is a really, really good developer. I think they are the A team now for Call of Duty, and I think that a 3-year development cycle is going to be really good for the series. It's going to give them a chance to try new things, really, really try to see what works and what doesn't work. Hopefully there'll be better changes than... One of the things I don't like about Ghosts is that they took away what I loved about Modern Warfare 2, and that's brutal kill streaks. Like, if you get 11 kills without dying, you deserve a Pavlo destroying everyone on the map. You know, they had balance. You could take it down. I could just switch my class and shoot 2 stingers at it and take down a Pavlo. It wasn't that hard. But, everyone complained. I'm getting killed by machines. And so they listened to the whiners and they scaled it back and made it mostly mobile or ground support. Not that fun. But I'm hoping that that Treyarch can really do something good. I hope Sledgehammer's doing Modern Warfare just because I want more Captain Price.
We'll see.
So let me just ask a quick question. This is basically a 3-year development cycle per studio.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there's still going to be a Call of Duty game every year.
Yep.
Every year.
Okay. I understand.
Okay.
So there's just going to be a different brand. There's going to be hopefully Modern Warfare with Sledgehammer or whatever they're doing. Then you're going to have Black Ops, and then you're going to have Ghosts.
I just think these like yearly releases are absurd. Seriously.
But they're different games.
Yes, but like it's so redundant.
But you're not a fan though.
I am a fan, actually. I mean, I haven't actually, you know, played recently because I've just been kind of out of the mood of first person shooters. But in terms of first person shooters, I've enjoyed Call of Duty more than most. I think this whole yearly release of video game franchises is just a bad thing overall. I am so fucking sick of Assassin's Creed. You have no idea. Oh my god. I mean, granted, I played Assassin's 3 and 4 back to back, but nevertheless,
that wasn't a good idea.
It wasn't a good idea, but it doesn't change the fact that they released a game one right after the other, yeah. And it's like you kind of need that breathing room to kind of get ready for the next game. Especially when there really isn't that much innovation between each game. If you're going to have like such a similar product year after year after year, it's just going to wear people down.
Mm-hmm. See, now I don't disagree with you, and that is why I haven't played in Assassin's Creed since Brotherhood. I skipped Revelations and Assassin's Creed 3, so I had a 2-year gap in between the games, so it didn't feel as redundant. And I kind of like that too, because say you like Treyarch's Call of Duty RE, you can wait every 3 years and just play the Treyarch one.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
they're all distinctly
You don't have to play the other ones because they're not going to continue storylines. There's not going to be. That's the one thing about Assassin's Creed is that they have that one through line going through everything that if you do skip a couple, you are missing some elements, but you won't be missing that. So I feel like I agree with you what you're saying, that it will wear the people down. And we might be already seeing the decline of Call of Duty because Ghost was successful, but not as successful as Black Ops 2. So that might be, it might be the transitional thing. It might be that Battlefield took some of the things. It might be like, you know, people saw, they want Titanfall. It was just, might be a lot of factors, but for whatever reason, it didn't sell as much. But I think this 3-year cycle might be good for people like you who, I'm going to skip a couple and wait till the A-team.
I guess the reason I brought it up is that I kind of was thinking like, along the lines of, it'll be 3 years until the next Call of Duty. By the time that happens, I'll be stoked to play it. And now I realized, oh, wait, there's all these different studios. It's still a yearly release. And I just kind of lost that, you know.
I guess, like, what Sean is saying is that even though we're going to see the same brand come out every year, it's still different flavors because there's 3 different companies that are working on it. And who knows? Like, Sledgehammer might introduce a 3rd timeline in the series. And these are non-contiguous timelines. They're all happening as separate entities from each other, which to me is, like, rather interesting because I always, you know, I personally like, you know, the storyline that Treyarch is kind of going through and stuff. As far as Modern Warfare goes, whatever. Like, they were good in the beginning. I have my own opinions. I am excited to see what Sledgehammer will offer, you know, now that they're not shackled by, you know, like, Infinity Ward. Because they did help Infinity Ward with Modern Warfare 3, but now they have an opportunity to make a name for themselves. I want to see what they can do to contribute to the franchise.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah. And, like, you know, just, I don't know. I can agree with what you're saying, but it can still be a Call of Duty every 3 years for you, Ari. You just wait.
Yeah, you just gotta wait.
Just wait it out.
Yeah, you don't have to buy every single Call of Duty game.
I do because I'm sick.
He is.
Oh, he's sick. He buys every Call of Duty game, and then you look at Ted, who
buys every
looks
game
in his Steam library and doesn't know how he came to own some of these
games. I do
have
a question for you, Ted. Are you gonna buy the Borderlands 2 PS Vita bundle that's coming out?
Oh, Jesus. You know, at first I was going to say no, and now that you've asked me the question, now, immediately, at this very moment, I'm thinking, here's the problem I have. The new Vita is Wi-Fi only, and I've got AT&T has a new 3G plan that actually averages out to $8 a month, and it's actually nice to have a little bit of 3G coverage when I'm out and about with this thing. But it's got more battery life, it's thinner, it's nicer, got the regular plug, it uses micro USB.
That's the one with, the kind of lesser screen.
But I don't play
though,
Borderlands,
right?
You know, yeah, I'm willing to bet that when it comes down to it, it's LCD, but they say LCD is better than OLED, or not better, but they've really improved LCD technology, whatever.
Whatever.
The other problem is that I play Borderlands 2 on PC, so if I were to start on PS3, I'd have to start all over, and I've got a level 50-something character. I'm on my third playthrough.
I'm about to get into that again, because I have yet to play any of the DLC, and I keep buying it, and I really should play it.
Well,
speaking of DLC, you know DLC came out for Borderlands 2 today?
Yes. We have a
And then there's one more in April, and then that's it.
They're actually calling it an end?
Yeah, after 18 months. So that's a pretty good run, I gotta say.
Really
that's
good
how
for
you support
that
a product.
Type of game, yeah.
That's how you support a product.
Yep.
Totally.
It almost makes up for Alien Colonial Marines.
Nice. Yeah, I'm already seeing trailers for the new Aliens game. Ugh.
No way, that's going to be good. Creative Assembly, survival horror, one person on a ship. That's awesome.
I'll save my reservations and totally try it out. But anyway, so moving on. I don't know about these investors at Microsoft. They want to drop the Xbox Bing and Surface business. I don't think this is going to happen.
First of all, the Surface business is only picking up now. They've wanted to spin off Xbox for a while, and they want to spin off Bing. This happens. They wanted to do this with Sony. Sony actually spun off their PC business, but that's just a smart play. Microsoft isn't going to spin off Xbox. Even with Satya Nadella now at the head, for those who don't know, Satya Nadella is the new CEO of Microsoft, and he came from the business sector. He worked he was the head of Azure.
Mm-hmm. Right, the cloud service.
Believe it or not, this is the first CEO of Microsoft with a computer science background.
That's true, yeah. Funny.
But they're
I feel like that's just a sensational kind of thing where it's like, you know, I don't think it's, I mean, when it was reported, it was like the Washington Journal or something. It wasn't anything
it was
like
Washington Post.
It wasn't like
a
The Washington Post. It wasn't like a gaming website, so I don't take it as like, oh my God, someone's just trying to get hits. But you know, investors do. From what I understand, one of these investors is going to be on the board,
right?
And you know, I don't know how much play they're going to have, and how much pull they're going to have. They're going to have to really prove that it's bleeding money. And with the exception of R&D, from what I understand for Xbox One, they're actually not selling the console at a loss in a manufacturing sense. Like, they're breaking even with every Xbox they sold for what they cost to manufacture it. But then again, there's those R&D costs that they have to make up. So, but I don't know. I just can't see them. I just can't see Microsoft making that big of a play and then trying to change it. It might have been different if that Nokia guy took over, but
yeah, that would have been way different. How about you, Ari? Do you have an opinion on this?
I don't know. I don't know if I would really miss the Xbox much if they stopped making them. But
well, they would probably try to sell to someone else. But I think the reasoning is that the Xbox division generally is even or not profitable. That division makes a lot of their money through Android licensing.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Well, would this be just the Xbox or all of Microsoft game development?
Probably all of Microsoft game development.
Because then the question is there any first party title that I would truly miss? That's the bigger question to me.
Halo 5.
This is the thing. I always come across like a Sony fanboy when I say this, but I can honestly say that I don't give a shit about a single first-party Microsoft game. Like, I couldn't care less if there was never another Halo, never another Gears, never another Fable. I don't hate racing games, so I don't care about Forza. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas Sony, I feel like their first-party studios, at least they speak to what I like more, I guess. You know, now, don't get me wrong, if the big fantasy that Microsoft fans have would be that they bought Respawn and that was a first party game, then I would be like, okay, now they have a game I care about. But I don't know. I mean, I'm with you, Ari. I don't think I would miss a single first party Microsoft.
They game. Used to be really strong at the beginning of the Xbox 360. They tried a lot of stuff. They tried it with Halo. They tried with Fable. They've tried with, you know, like, you know, investments with their first party titles like Two Human, like Viva Pinata, Perfect Dark. They really desperately tried, you know, and then all.
You're still naming games that I couldn't.
Well,
care less about.
I mean, but even Sony had to start somewhere with like really shitty games. You know, at the very least, they were trying to diversify their lineup instead of like where we are right now with Microsoft, where really the only things that they can show for at the beginning of the new console cycle is pretty much Halo, Gears, and Rise, and then that kind of Minecraft looking game that they're making.
Yeah, and then they have Fable Legends. Yeah. Fable Legends coming out.
Yeah.
And supposedly Lionhead's working on games that are not tied to Fable. But then, like we talked about a few weeks ago, Black Tusk was making a new IP that was supposed to be the quote-unquote next Halo-like game, like the next big franchise for them. Oh, no, wait, we're going to stop that. We're just going to have you make Gears of War.
I heard, though, that they're still building it and that they do have a small pre-production team working on Halo, but not everybody's been moved over.
Oh, you mean Gears of War?
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing pre-production for a game, you don't move everybody to it. You move the guy who does the engine, and then everybody else is still working on the current game. So there might still be hope.
I don't think so. I think they want Gears of War fast-tracked as fast as possible. They might be, you know, obviously they're not going to bring people over to start building the Gears of War game when it's still being thought about, but I think that that's going to happen way sooner than you think. I think that's 2016, which is less than 2 years.
We know that Microsoft needs a Halo to sell more systems. You know, because, I mean, that's their bread and butter at this point, right? I mean...
And yet Halo 4, you could say, didn't have the audience enraptured like Halo 3 did.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, all right, well, I guess it's time to go, because, I mean, right now, like, we're kind of running a little bit late, but, I mean, it seems like we don't care about Microsoft, like, disappearing, if that's, you know, as far as, like, Xbox...
That's not true, I care.
What do you mean? Like Xbox, like disappearing?
I care about Xbox as a platform disappearing. I just don't care about Microsoft as a first-party publisher disappearing because they don't make things that I give a shit about.
Right. I mean, I think that
Quantum Break looks good, though.
Yeah, I can go do without that. I mean, they're from your favorite developer, the guys who developed Alan Wake. So
they made two Max Payne games, though, so they're allowed to make Alan Wake.
And Alan Wake's American Nightmare. Remember, they made two more those two games.
I'll never know what that's like.
So, all right. Well, before we go, we do want to say, like, we do have an email address. If you want to email us any questions, comments related to the podcast, it's afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. Again, that's afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. If you email us any questions, gaming stuff, whatever, what have you, we will answer it on our show. And, if that's all you guys have to say, we'll see you guys next week. Laters.
Later.
Matt Damon.